Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Friday and joining me here, tuning into God's frequency, which is WGOD. We're going to where God speaks with open ears, open hearts to see what He's got to say to us today. That message is going to come out of the book of Galatians, chapter 3. More on what you're going to hear in a minute. In the meantime, I invite you out to Island Community Church this weekend. Been working on my sermon here all day today, getting ready for Sunday. My sermon is in 1 John chapter 2. We're having a high time in this book. It certainly is just my style preaching through this book because, John is no nonsense. And he's not afraid to speak the truth. And he calls things the way that they are, at the way that they are. And he's going to say this coming weekend here that you have a choice to make. You can either be a friend of the world or the friend of God, and you can't be both. That's where we're at. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Friendship with the world. Actually, James has got a lot to say about that too. But that's where we're at here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Our service starts at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We're going to have a brand new air conditioner. It's going to be nice and chilly, but the word's going to heat us up. Why don't you come by and worship with us? 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 10:30 Sunday morning. The app is Island Community Church FL. You can watch it from the app, too. If you're unable to attend, or if you go somewhere else or live further away, that will, at 10:35, the live feed will kick off for that service. I'd love to see you here this weekend. Here today, this sermon is entitled, The Law Was. Now, that's a verbatim quote out of the book of Galatians. Not the law is, or not the law continues to be, or not the law will be. Well, I can say the law will be. The law will be your judge without Jesus Christ. But when you get Him into the picture, it's now the law was. We're going to hear just about 95% of this message here today. If you'd like 100% of it, you can write to me, Paul at WGODradio.com. Here we go. Galatians chapter 3, the law was.
My title for this message today is The Purpose of the Law. I'm troubled by the number of good Christians who think it's nostalgic to try and live by the Old Testament law, like Jesus did, like Jesus lived. Most, if not all, Jewish Christian groups believe, like I read to you a few weeks ago, that the Old Testament law is still in full force. Let me read to you from the statement of faith of a local Jewish roots ministry. As the question is asked, quote, is the law still valid, or is it dead and gone and nailed to the cross, unquote. Now that's using their own words. Me, as a lover of words, see, I catch the smugness in that comment. That's kind of smug and a little, the arrogance of Christians who say that the law has been nailed to the cross. You can just sense it in this comment there. Again, is the law still valid, or is it dead and gone and nailed to the cross? And here is their answer to that excellent question. Or inquiry. They answer, Yeshua himself taught at his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, that the law remains alive and that not the tiniest bit of it will be abolished until heaven and earth pass away, unquote. That's in the statement of faith. Here's those verses again, then I'll comment on them. Matthew 5:17. It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." Key word is fulfill. Now, this is the only leg that they have to stand on. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. He fulfilled Deuteronomy 18, 15, where the Bible says this, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." There's the first part of what he said, verse 17. Now, for the rest, verse 18, "Assuredly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." All that means is that everything written in the book is going to be fulfilled. A jot and a tittle were the smallest strokes of the pen, like a dot or a period. Or an apostrophe. Like this. Luke 19:37. It says, "Then as Jesus was drawn near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they said, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Then some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you, if these should keep silent, then the stones would immediately cry out.'" Now, why would the stones cry out? Why did Jesus say this? Because this is Matthew 5, 17 through 20 in action. When he says every jot or tittle in this book is going to be fulfilled, that's what he meant. When they cried that out, they were fulfilling Psalm 118, verse 26, which says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Pharisees told him, "Keep these guys quiet." And he says, if they keep quiet, the stones are going to say it. Why? Because every jot and tittle in this book is going to be fulfilled. By hook or by crook. There's no stopping every word in this book from being fulfilled. So that's what Jesus meant. You can't quote that verse and say, you're still living under the law. You still have to go to a synagogue on Saturday. You still can't eat shellfish or pork. And you can't lift a finger on a Saturday. All that says is that every word in here is going to be fulfilled. That's what that means. There's no stopping the word of God from being fulfilled. Like Jesus said, every jot and tittle, every stroke of the pen will be fulfilled. And the law is alive and well for unbelievers. For unbelievers. However, Paul says this. He says, "But you are not under the law, but you're under grace." Romans 6:14. Notice the change of condition. Notice the change of position. Paul also said this, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, you'll notice on the handout there, Romans 6:14 and Romans 10:4. I don't make this stuff up. This is what the Word of God said. I want you to see this is what the Word of God says. When I tell you Christ is the end of the law, it's not me telling, it's me preaching it. It's what's in the book. You are no longer under the law if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. Now, in today's text, we're going to see in depth the purpose of the law and how it accomplished the will of God. So if you would please, let's start today in verse 12 of chapter 3. If you have a Bible, if you have your new Bible today. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Again, Galatians 3, 12. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. What this means here is that if you want to try to keep the law and follow the Old Testament law, then you need to follow all of the law, not just some of it. The law is contrasted with faith. Now, James said this, James 2:10. It says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Now, that's what the Bible says. If you want to try to keep the law to get right with God, you need to keep the whole thing. And if you miss the mark or stumble, that word offend is the Greek word scandalon. Indeed, that's quite a scandal you've got going. One offense. James says if you, one offense, you're guilty of the whole thing. Murder, blasphemy, idolatry, immorality, adultery, shall I go on? You can keep all these things. They weren't designed so for you to keep them perfectly. Watch this. Okay, now I'm going to read these, and you all say amen, like they did back then. Okay, you'll know where to speak. Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people will answer and say, amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, how about a little louder? Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter. This is the word. I'm reading you out of the word. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. All the people shall say, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person or a politician. And all the people shall say, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. And all the people shall say, that's Deuteronomy 27, 15 through 26. In other words, cursed is the one who does not keep every command perfectly. And the people shall say, you don't have to amen that one. That one's mine. Is that what you want? Is that what you want, to deliberately try to keep the law? There it is. It's spelled out for you right there. And in case you haven't done any of these other things, like move your neighbor's landmark, the curse is on you for missing the mark once. Once. who he has offended in one thing is guilty of all. Is that what you want? Now, it doesn't have to be that way. Like we saw last Sunday, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. This is the whole notion of what we're doing here. Is that someone, Jesus is his name, he took our place and died for us as a substitutionary death. Because all those curses are true. Every one of them. Like that smug letter I read to you last week from Dr. Laura. Every one of those things is right. What do you plan on doing about it? The good news, gospel is good news. The good news is someone took your place and died for you. That should make you want to shout. Just like Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven of much, loves much. And he who's been forgiven of little, loves little. Me personally, I've been forgiven of much. That's why I'm up here shouting every week. I've been forgiven of much. I'm grateful. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, this is verse 13, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Going back to verse 2, remember, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, now let's move on to verse 19 of chapter 3. It says, what purpose then does the law serve? Why the law? Why the law if no ordinary man can keep it? Why the law if I'm not under it any longer? Look what it says here. Verse 19 continues. It says, it was added. Everyone follow me? I'm in Galatians 3:19. It was added because of transgressions. What's the next word say? Until. In other words, you need help to misunderstand this, friend. You need help. The law was added until. Anyone can know what that means. It's temporary, right? I send you to your room until dinner time. Any child can understand that. It was added because of transgressions until the seed, capital S, should come to whom the promise was made. Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium in Latin. The very first mention of good news. As Jesus, as God said it to the devil. He said, behold, someone's coming and he's going to put the hurt on you, devil. You will bruise his heel and he's going to crush your head. That's when the promise was made all the way back in the garden. Until the fullness of time had come. Which we'll look at next week. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Born of a woman, born under the law. The promise was renewed throughout the Old Testament. It was appointed through angels who represented God and the mediator, Moses, who represented the people. Verse 20. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one, may I add, revealed in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Now the mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, then truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The ESV reads, The scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The purpose of the law is to reveal that you are a sinner. Question, has the law done its job with you? Are you guilty? Here's what Paul told the church in Rome. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now, in this two verses here, you've got the purpose and you've got the end result. Now, Romans 3, 19. It says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. In other words, he's not talking to you. He's talking to someone else, your neighbor perhaps. Maybe your son or daughter or your mother or your father. He's not talking to you. You're not under the law. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law. Now get the purpose with the word so that. So that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now here comes the end result. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of the law. Not to save you, but to condemn you. Paul called it a ministry of death. He called it a ministry of condemnation. He said the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Those who are under the law. Let me ask the question. Have you ever heard someone speak who's still under the law? Pay attention sometimes to an unbeliever when they try to justify themselves. Notice the key words that they say. They'll say, I've never cheated on my spouse. I honor my father and mother. I've never killed anyone. You'll notice the same MO. Why? Because they're still under the law. Whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law. It's not talking to you. It's talking to unbelievers. It's like this. The law is like this hammer. Hammering you on your forehead. It dogs you. It dogs you and pounds you and pounds you and pounds you like a sledgehammer. Until you come to the realization that you're lost and helpless and that you can't make it on your own. We just read two chapters. Cursed, 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 cursed. And if you haven't committed any of these, the day you jaywalk, you're cursed anyway. This is why Paul cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You're cursed without a redeemer and you can't keep it. Why would you want to go back under it? This is the law's purpose, and its purpose is only temporary. Verse 23, before faith, okay, we're back in our text, chapter 3, Galatians, verse 23. Before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. That sounds like a John Wayne movie. That's some kind of sheriff. Listen, we were kept under guard by the law. Was he wearing a holster? Did he have spurs? Before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. King James says we were shut up unto the faith. Indeed, shut up. Notice now, verse 24, the first four words. It says, therefore, the law was. You see that? The Lord was. The law was our tutor. Greek word, paedagogos. That's someone that watched children up until they came to a certain age when they were old enough to work for their father and inherit all things. They were kept under, King James calls them a schoolmaster. They were someone in charge of a child up until they were the age of accountability, let's call it. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. All right, humor me for a moment. Let's change the word tutor to taxi. Okay? The law was our taxi to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. The law was our taxi to bring us to Christ. That's what it does. The law, you get in and it takes you and it drops you off right at the foot of the cross. And it lets you out. And then you're face to face with the cross. And you've got to make a decision. What are you going to do? Millions in the valley of decision. What are you going to do there? My prayer is that you'll bow a knee to Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord. Right? He died in your place. He took your curse upon him. You can either get back into that taxi and live cursed and a cursed life, or you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and bow the knee to him and call him Lord and worship him for what he did, dying in your place. By taking your curse upon himself. For Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Again, I didn't say that. Paul said it. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law. The law dead ends at the cross. And you've got to make a decision there. What are you going to do? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Sin will not have dominion over you. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. That's my message today. This is not a license to sin. This is a wonderful promise that you're no longer in bondage trying to keep rules to be right with God.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.